Congo's neighbor, Sudan, has a crisis of its own. This week, Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir declared a ceasefire in the war-ravaged region of Darfur. One rebel group there dismissed it as a PR stunt. Bashir's announcement is seen as his latest effort to fend off possible genocide charges by the International Criminal Court. But Darfur is not Sudan's only concern. Tensions are growing again between the country's north and south. Southern rebels fought the northern government for more than two decades. A peace deal put an end to that. That was in 2005. But many wonder just how stable that peace is. Heba Ali reports from southern Sudan.
Minibus taxis cram into a busy market in Juba, capital of southern Sudan. Screaming men wave their hands in the air to try to recruit passengers. Vendors sell fresh juice, used shoes, and music cassettes. There's bustle and life here. 4 years ago, you'd have barely seen a single car here. The country was still at war, the roads were mined, people stayed home. But things have changed. Inside the market's winding alleys, John Lado sells fabric and plastic sheeting at a small stand. He left during the war and stayed away for 15 years. Now he's one of the 1.7 million people who have returned to southern Sudan in the past 4 years. The truth is, as Sudanese, we want to move forward, Lado says. We are moving forward. We don't want to go backwards. Business still isn't what it could be, Lado says, but it's certainly better than war. Here in the south, signs of rebirth are everywhere. On almost every main road in Juba, you'll see construction. In some smaller towns, new roads appear by the day. People have come from Darfur and from neighboring countries to take part in this emerging economy. Bashar Malau moved here from Kenya to build a gas station and supermarket.
There's work in Sudan. It's a new country. They need a lot of new things in this country.
He says he's invested nearly $300,000, but figures he can recoup that in just 1 year of peace.
In 2006, there was nothing here. Now there's a lot of construction. People want to build. They want to move forward.
Southern Sudan has come a long way since rebels fought for liberation in the forest. After more than two decades and 2 million dead, they finally achieved it. A peace deal signed in 2005 gave the South semi-autonomous status. It also set national elections for 2009 and a referendum on secession for 2011. One of the least developed areas of the world is beginning to lift itself off the ground. But many southerners complain the northern government in Khartoum is not fully implementing the peace agreement, and some say that would be enough to push them back to war. Gabriel Chung Sincheng is Southern Sudan's Minister of Information.
We are talking of over 50 years at war and in miserable lives. Okay? If going back to war means final resolution of the conflict and restoration of decent life and development, then that is the price worth paying for.
There are a few key sticking points. The transparent transfer of oil revenue from the north to the south, the demarcation of the north-south border, and the resolution of a disputed oil-rich region called Abyei. David Gressley is the head of the UN peacekeeping mission in southern Sudan.
In reality, both parties need to understand that time is running out. It's time to make the hard decisions. They can't be avoided forever. It's time to make the decisions before a larger problem emerges.
Just last May, Sudan came dangerously close to a return to civil war. A firefight erupted between the Sudanese army and former rebels along the north-south border. The fight killed dozens of civilians and forced 50,000 people to flee. Since then, the government of southern Sudan has been treading carefully, trying to avoid confrontation with the north. And it's trying to keep the peace agreement on track. Gressley says that's critical for more than just southern Sudan.
Basically, the Comprehensive Peace Agreement is a foundational agreement for peace throughout Sudan. It's really a prerequisite for any other peace including in Darfur, to be sustainable. If there is no peace agreement between the North and the South, if that crumbles, there won't be peace in other parts of Sudan, including Darfur.
Back at the market, southern Sudanese say they're slowly getting used to regular life, but they're well aware that the bustle, the busy markets, the lives they now live could all disappear if this fragile peace falls apart. For The World, I'm Hiba Ali in Juba, southern Sudan.